We present James Bolam and Rodney Bewes as Terry Collier and Bob Ferris in episode 13 of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads.
Girls are going to lie in.
Oh, heavens, Mum, I couldn't sleep a wink.
Nor me. What's those pins?
I've never closed my eyes once, and your father's been up since six.
What on earth's he been doing?
He's weeded the lawn and given the car a 6,000-mile service. He never touched his breakfast. It looks terrible. All dark shadows.
That's probably axle grease.
It's just nerves, Mum. It's just excitement. It's the same with all of us. Everyone's in a state today. It'll be the same in Bob's house.
I expect you're right, dear. I brought some toast and tea. It'll be the last cup I ever bring you.
Oh, dear, what's wrong, Mrs. Ferris?
I've just taken him a pot of tea. I was just thinking it'll be the last one I ever make for him.
What? I should think he'll want another one by 11.
No, I meant in life.
Oh, no, Pet. Look, there's some more telegrams, and I've put the doilies on the sideboard.
Oh, Audrey, you've been a tower of strength. So sweet of you to help me out with everything, and you with that awful cold on you. And you're not even one of the family.
Well, I feel I'm family, and with me brother as best man, one of the Colliers ought to keep an eye on him.
Auntie Beatty means well, but she just gets in the way, you know.
I can't find me tea.
Oh, Beatty. Well, where did you see them last?
In the glass, by the bed.
Well, they can't have walked through the night.
I'll go and have a look for them in a minute.
I don't feel myself at all. I can't trust my own shoe legs.
Shall I get myself a latterly?
Oh, no, Petter. I expect it's just the excitement.
Well, it's the same for all of us. Yeah. The excitement.
Aye. Oh.
Time is it now? 9:20. 5 hours till we leave here.
Really?
Isn't it time you got into a state? When are you going to start pacing the floor and biting your nails and having second thoughts and wondering if she's going to turn up?
I don't know. Suppose all those tranquilizers I took. No real sleep. I just feel detached. Only half here.
You mean semi-detached?
I'm usually hopeless in a crisis, but I feel calm and relaxed in this one.
I know you've got your mother worried sick.
I'm even a bit bored.
I'm bored.
Well, learn your speech, or polish the ring.
Oh, couldn't we go for a walk, or have a game of snooker?
No, I'm quite happy being bored. I'm sitting here, contemplating the real meaning of marriage and life.
Have you seen Auntie Beatty's teeth?
Only when she laughs.
Oh, be sensible, Bob. They're missing.
Well, that gives us something to do. Hunt the dentures.
Oh.
You can use the bathroom first, if you like. You can have your bath, then my mum, then Auntie Beatty, then me. Or alternatively, I could go first and you go last. I don't mind. If you want the first, I don't mind at all. I mean, I don't mind going first. You go last. Or alternatively, Mum and Auntie Beatty can go first. Then you and I can have our baths after them. I don't mind.
I'm just glad we've created some excitement. Working out the bath timetable.
Well, I don't mind. I'm easy.
What time is it?
Excuse me, boy.
place.
Please, please, disturb us, anything.
Mrs. Batty from the corner made us these lovely drop scones. Ain't it kind? Made with real butter, you can tell.
I pressed those other trousers you got. In fact, I pressed both suits again.
Well, don't press them any more, ma'am. You'll burn right through the knees.
Now, you get yourself upstairs, Abby. Have your bath. Water's hot.
She's first. We'll have to reschedule.
There's hours to go yet, ma'am.
I know, but we've all got to use that bathroom, haven't we? Beatty, use Bob's bedroom. The boys can change down here in front of the fire. I'm going up.
Did her teeth turn up?
They were in her dressing gown pocket all the time. I told her to put them in and keep them in.
Well, don't get in a state, ma'am. Keep calm. Go and iron your hat. She's gone the hairdresser soon. Then we'll get some peas.
No. I welcome these interruptions. What time is it now?
11:21. We'll leave here at 2:20 sharp.
Oh, we don't have to leave then. The 2:30 from Chepstow's on the box.
I'm not being late. I'm not being early. On Saturday, this time of year, there's hundreds of weddings. If you don't time it exactly right, you could end up with the wrong bride.
Oh, we're missing a great grandstand. There's racing, fight of the week, rugby league, Warrington versus St. Helens, and the teleprinter.
Well, how selfish and inconsiderate of me to marry on a Saturday.
I expect you had your reasons.
What time is it?
Oh, there's hours yet.
I haven't got that rash coming back, have I?
What rash?
I get this rash in times of tension and stress. Like when Bob broke our engagement, or when Dad fell through the greenhouse roof, or when Terry Collier came home again.
I think you get far too neurotic about Terry. Heavens, you went out with him years ago.
When I went out with Terry Collier, I was going through that stage that all young girls go through.
What stage is that?
When they want to be mistreated by something coarse and vulgar.
I'm still into that stage. Only the other night, I dreamt that Oliver Reed, dressed as a miner, was ravaging me on white satin sheets. At least I think it was Oliver Reed.
Well, couldn't you be sure?
No. His lamp was shining straight in my eyes. I can't see your Bob ravaging anyone on white sheets in a miner's lamp.
Susan, I wish you wouldn't treat Bob as if he was a sexual novice. Bob and I have known each other for ages. Well, we know each other very well indeed. Got no problems in that department, thank you.
Well, don't tell Mum. Your white dress cost her £50.
Robert, is there anything you'd like to ask me? Any advice I can offer at the time like this?
Advice?
Well, I am more experienced than you, having travelled, and I am a married man.
Well, put your trousers on. I can't take you seriously with those legs.
Well, just don't forget that marriage is more than getting at it in a chalet on the ski slopes. Honeymoons can be a revelation. Sometimes a time of great joy. Sometimes a time of great distress.
Where on earth did you get that from?
The woman's page this morning. She must have led a full and active life, that Marjorie Proops.
What was your honeymoon like?
A time of great distress.
What happened?
We went down the Rhine on a barge. We went on a barge down the Rhine, or up the Rhine, I don't know which it was. I do know it was full of Germans, all in their braces, playing the accordion. And once you've seen one slosh, you've seen them all. And she had a sore throat, and she gave it to me, and it was pouring down, and we rammed a jetty.
You really feel pretty bitter about your marriage, don't you, mate?
Oh, well, water down the Rhine now, isn't it?
No, it shows, you know. I mean, I'm not blind to it. On a day like this, which is a day of, well, great joy for me, I feel it even more.
I had a letter from her this week.
From your wife?
Aye. It's ironic, isn't it? This week of all times.
What did she say?
Wants to see me. Wants to talk things over. Come over here and talk things over.
Do you suppose there's any chance that...
No chance.
Well, still, if she's willing to come all this way, there must be something there, mustn't there? Don't you want to talk things over?
No.
Don't you want to see her?
No, I don't.
Oh, too painful.
Too expensive. Haven't sent her allowance for 3 months. Come on, then, let's get off. Am I all right? How's this collar?
Terry, I want you to have this.
How do you mean?
I want you to have this.
But that's your photograph album. That's your most treasured possession.
Well, by rights, it should belong to both of us. There's two lives in there, and I'm only one of them. You said that yourself often enough.
Yeah, no.
Look, it's easy for me to go and buy you a pen and pencil set or a monogram cufflinks, but, well, this... Well, I thought it would mean more, that's all. Lost your tongue? Well, I think I'll just go and say goodbye to the cat. What time is it?
What time does your watch say?
2:45.
It's 2:45, then. We're early. Of course we're early. It's because we left home too early and drove here too quickly. We could have had another cup of tea and watched the 2:30 from Chepstow.
I think those tranquilizers have worn off. I've lost that numb feeling.
What feeling have you got now?
I think you'd describe it as blind terror.
Hey, that was the name of a film. A film with Mia Farrow. That's right, that's right. She was this blind girl. And she was...
Shut up.
I saw another film about a blind girl. That was Audrey Hepburn. That's right, it was Audrey Hepburn, and the film was called,
I want to go to the lavatory.
Wait until dark.
I can't wait that long.
That was the name of the film. There was Audrey Hepburn, and it was about this blind girl.
They don't have lavatories in churches, do they?
Look, you don't really want to go. It's all in the mind.
It's all in the bladder.
It's just tension, nerves. Like the First World War in the trenches.
What? What? What are you on about?
Paths of Glory, Kirk Douglas, wasn't it?
Will you shut up about blind girls and trenches? I'm getting married in 14 minutes.
When did you put that plaster on your hand?
Just after I said goodbye to the cat.
I thought maybe you'd found your auntie beat his teeth.
You know, 6 years ago... 6 years ago, I locked that cat in my sock drawer. Accidentally, like. He's obviously nursed a grudge all these years.
My cousin Martin got scratched by a cat and his arm swelled up to twice its normal size. Apparently some cats carry this fatal infection. He should have had a tetanus injection on the way here. We had time enough.
Thelma should be leaving now.
Oh, good, she'll know at 1:30 at Chepstow.
Thelma hates horses.
My cousin Martin's allergic to horses. Only has to hear a whinny and he comes out in red blotches. They give him asthma. Like that film with Lee Remick, where the killer had asthma. You remember? Grip of Fear. You could hear him in the shadows.
Shut up, Terry, will you? Please.
I can also do impressions of well-known British birds. Did you know that? First, the swallow.
Look, Terry, just pack it in, will you? It's filling up. People are coming in. Why don't you go and perform one of your useful duties? Go on, you're supposed to be one of the ushers, aren't you? In charge of the ushers. Why don't you just ush off?
My duty, Robert, is to be at your side. Take your mind off the horror of what is to follow.
Who's all that lot? I don't recognise any of them.
Well, that side's friends of the bride.
No, it's not. It's friends of the bridegroom. I don't recognise any... Oh, God, we're in the wrong church.
Now, pull yourself together. Pull yourself together. It's the hats, man, the hats. You just don't recognise them under them hats.
Oh, it's all right. There's my Auntie Elsie from Bishop Auckland. She gave us a salad bowl.
She's wearing a salad bowl.
And there's Auntie Edna. She gave us table mats. Is Thelma's mother here yet?
No, I would have heard the fanfare. The people would have been prostrating themselves in the aisles.
You got a handkerchief?
What for?
What do you think I want it for? To do conjuring tricks? I want to blow my nose. My hay fever's coming back.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's all in the mind.
It's all in my nose, so give us your handkerchief, will you?
Oh, hang on. Me chewing gum's in that.
That's nice. I'm removing my buttonhole. Take yours off. It's the pollen.
That's not going to make any difference. The church is full of flowers. So is every woman's hat.
My eyes are streaming.
It's probably a symptom of the dreaded cat infection.
I must have an allergy.
Well, you must be allergic to something in here. Like the candles. Or the Verge's aftershave. Or marriage. Hey, maybe you're allergic to getting married. Maybe you'll spend the rest of your married life sniffing and sneezing and snivelling. You can get a very quick divorce in Mexico, you know. I think you just have to live there 2 weeks. Mind you, some countries you just have to stay the weekend. Countries down that way. I think in Guatemala you just have to apply by letter. Just drop them a line with a £5 postal order.
Well, surely that only means you're divorced in Guatemala. Which isn't much of a help if you're living on the Elm Lodge housing estate.
What are they talking about, Beatty? Divorce?
Ah. Oh.
Unless, of course, you went to live there. Residence, they call it. Nah, but I can't see you doing that. Not with your hay fever and your terror of spiders.
Do they have nasty spiders in Guatemala?
Terrifying. Apparently, they can devour a guinea pig in a minute.
Why? I mean, why a guinea pig?
What? Well, it just happens that a minute is the time it takes them to get through a guinea pig. Something else like a fox terrier probably takes a little longer.
Yes, but why did he eat guinea pigs of all things?
Well, why do you eat toast and drip in it? They've obviously got a taste for them. Anyhow, the spiders are bigger than your fist.
What are you two talking about?
Guatemalan spiders. They're as big as your fist.
What's he say, Abiti?
Guatemalan spiders as big as his fist.
Don't surprise me.
Apparently, in Colombia, beyond the far uncharted reaches of the Amazon, lives the deadliest animal in the world. It's not a spider. It's not a snake. It is the great venomous toad. An ounce of whose poison could wipe out the entire population of West Hartlepool.
They've got enough trouble with the beer.
Speaking of venomous toads, Thelma's mother's arrived. She's wearing that smile of hers.
What smile of hers?
As if she's about to unveil a new wing of an abattoir.
What time is it?
Almost 5:02.
She'll be on her way. She'll be halfway between Marshall's Plastics and the Pickle Factory. Here's your hanky back.
Hey, it's a good house, though, but it's packed. Thelma's relatives don't look a bundle of laughs, do they?
They gave us some good presents.
I hope our Audrey's arrived.
Fish knives and forks.
God, you're a mercenary, you are. You look down the rows of pews and all you see is electric kettles and pop-up toasters.
Pam and Ivor.
What?
Gave us a pop-up toaster.
Well, your mother needn't worry. She's not losing a son. She's gaining a daughter in a department store.
The Verger's waving. That means she's arrived, Bob.
Early?
That means she left before the 2:30, dammit.
Terry?
What?
I think I've lost the use of both my legs.
Now you haven't. You'll lose one of them on this skiing honeymoon anyway.
This is serious, man. I'm paralysed from the waist down.
It's just nerves, man. It's nerves. It's all in the mind.
It's not. It's all in the knees.
Come on then, son. Here we go.
I can't.
Go on, pet. On your feet.
Don't let go.
Just like being a paratrooper taking his first jump. Like Alan Ladd in the Red Berry. Let's go, Geronimo! I don't know. Even on your wedding day, you have to lean on me.
Don't let go.
Please, Bob, please. You'll confuse the vicar. You think you're marrying me?
My God, what have I got into?
Never mind, mate. There's always Guatemala.
Yes, yes. Thank you, thank you. And a lot of people said it would never happen. Some people said it should never happen. And at least one person, not a million miles from here, said he wouldn't let it happen. Still, it has happened. And I'm very, very glad about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My wife and I... Yes, yes. My wife and I are just knocked out by all the lovely presents and by everyone's good wishes and kindness, especially Thelma's parents for organising this marvellous do. It's just such an incredible day, and apart from worrying about what Terry's going to say in his speech, a very, very happy one. Thank you. Now, it's now my duty and pleasure, my duty and pleasure, to propose the health of the bridesmaids. Ladies and gentlemen, the bridesmaids.
The bridesmaids.
God bless them.
Now, it's that Terry Collier.
Give him a chance. He's behaved himself up to now.
He's a blemish on the whole proceedings.
Oh, Mum.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, I've had a lot of instructions and a lot of advice on how I should make this speech. A few minutes ago, Bob passed me a note on a napkin saying, don't mention Deirdre Birchwood. So I won't.
How could you, Terry?
Anyway, Bob gave me a book today, this one. Oh. It's a photograph album, and... apart from his autographed picture of Rhonda Fleming, it's always been his most treasured possession. And if you flick through it, it tells you all about his past and about mine. There we are. Guy Fawkes, scout camp, school sports, Villa Park for an away match. We even got beyond the third round that year. And here's our first job. One cycling through the Pennines... Bob's the one with the flashy water bottles. Oh, aye. And a classic. First time abroad. Costa Brava. Cost a fortune. Now, me at my 21st with his present, a silver beer tankard. And him at his 21st with my present, a silver beer tankard. But you know, this is a summary of somebody else's life. And that somebody else is Thelma. She doesn't feature much early on... Makes her first appearance in the school sports, as a matter of fact. And very sexy she looks and all in her singlet and button. But there's more and more of her in these last pages, and well, by the time you've stuck in those wedding photos, I reckon you'll need a new album. But, Bob, I know how much this book means to you, and therefore how much it meant you giving it to me. And I appreciate that gesture more than I can say. But I can't take it. Because this book's not just about Bob and Terry. It's about Bob and Thelma. And only Bob and Thelma from now on. Bob Ferris, this is your life.
There goes the luggage. Expect they'll be calling our flight in a minute.
Right. You're all set then. Tickets, passports.
Yes.
You do it yourself, splints. Oh, and where's your booklet? 6 ways to fight frostbite.
We've got everything.
Well, that's it then.
Oh, Terry, thank you. You've been a smashing best man. Much better than we ever... Well, I mean...
I know.
Anyway, thank you for being such a friend. Well, I've just got time to get a magazine.
I did it.
I
did it.
Home and dry.
Thanks.
I didn't do anything.
Thanks for not doing anything.
Ah, look, mate, I've given you a hard time, haven't I? about this marriage, putting it down and putting you off, but, you know, you shouldn't take any notice of me. What I'm trying to say is, you've done the right thing, kiddo, getting married. Well, all the best.
Cheers, Terry. And perhaps one day, you and you to...
Will passengers on flight 634 for Oslo please proceed through Channel B?
Aye, well, anyway, there's your call.
Aye. Funny, you and me, like, end of... Well...
End of the line?
Not quite that. End of an era.
Ah, it'll be different people now, different scene.
Old days, old ways.
Gone forever.
All in the past.
Yeah, can't turn back the clock.
Be wrong to try.
End of an era.
Nothing will ever be the same again.
Come on, Bob. They've called our flight.
When did you get back, by the way?
Tuesday week.
Tuesday? Oh, there's a darts match that night against the Fat Ox.
Is that all great? I'll pick you up at 8.
Smash it.
Cheers, Terry.
You've been listening to The End of an Era, the last episode in the present series of Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads. Rodney Bewes and James Bolam appeared as Bob and Terry. Thelma was played by Bridget Forsyth, while Sheila Fern was Terry's sister Audrey. Susan Chambers was played by Anita Carey, and Mrs. Chambers was Joan Hickson. Mrs. Ferris was played by Barbara Ogilvie, and Daphne Hurd was Aunt Beattie. Whatever Happened to the Likely Lads is created and written by Dick Clement and Ian Lafrenet, and was adapted for radio and produced by John Browell.